This is a Media Lab podcast. Welcome to Putting It Together, the podcast that goes through the entire body of work of Stephen Sondheim, show by show and song by song. My name is Kyle Marshall, your self-described Sondheim expert. The song this week is One More Kiss, this song that was actually even cut from the original Broadway cast album. And I've been thinking about it a lot this week, mostly because I've been editing it, but also because of a specific line that me and my guest Marco Daninis will actually get into here a little bit later. But it's that idea that all things beautiful must die. I'll never be confused with a beauty, but it is something to reckon with, where the music that you enjoy, the architecture that you wonder at, or the people that you fall in love with, all of that will go away at some point. And it's a depressing thought, but for me, it makes me want to enjoy the stuff in my life now even more, because it is precious. It's not guaranteed to last any longer than your time on this earth. Perhaps it's because everyone is sort of in agreement that 2020 has been a big old dumpster fire. I've been feeling very melancholy this last week, and I think that it might be possibly due to this song. And sometimes it's good to be reminded not to take things for granted. One of the things I will never take for granted is the people who help support this show. I keep saying this every week, but my goal is to have this podcast be completely fan-supported, and the people that are helping me to that goal are greatly, greatly appreciated. Of course, you can go over to my Patreon page, patreon.com/puttingittogetherpodcast, and there's a bunch of different tiers that you can help support at, but the God That's Good tier especially, we have the Holy Triumvirate of people over there holding down the fort currently. And so I thank them each and every episode. So thank you to Jack, Todd, and Barry for helping me out in that cause. But now it's time for Plodding Along. Plodding Along is the part of the show where I describe to you what's happening in the plot. So after Buddy's tragic realization that perhaps he's in love with the wrong girl, he leaves the stage open to Heidi Schiller, the oldest Follies girl. She sings her famous operetta and is soon joined by her younger self when her voice begins to waver. I mentioned here at the very beginning that I am joined by Marco Daninis here today. He is from Argentina, and I had a really great conversation with him a few months ago, and we'll be joining that conversation here very shortly. But before we do, I am going to go thank some sponsors, and then when we return, we'll be discussing the song One More Kiss. Putting It Together is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. The Alberta Podcast Network promotes and supports Alberta-made podcasts and connects their audiences with Alberta-based businesses and organizations. This week, Putting It Together is brought to you by ATB, specifically their Goodness Grows campaign, an initiative that encourages Albertans to tap into their innate goodness. So there's nothing like the feeling of putting a smile on someone's face. Enter ATB Goodness Grows, where one act of goodness can create a chain reaction across the province. Through Goodness Grows, ATB will be creating moments where Albertans can come together for a smile. Want to join in? Simply follow the hashtag ATB Goodness Grows on social to see all the goodness growing across Alberta. Follow along, get inspired, and help share the goodness. This week, Putting It Together is also brought to you by the Alberta Podcast Network. So let's go and take a listen to one of our other great shows.
Hi, I'm Emily.
And I'm Brienne. And together we make Emily Missed Out, a podcast where Emily and I dig into the long list of films that Emily hasn't seen.
It's a very long list.
Totally long list. And help her catch up on all of the pop culturally relevant lines, characters, scenes, and tropes that she may have missed out on.
We're also a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network. You can find us online at albertapodcastnetwork.com or wherever you find your podcasts. Join us for my pop culture education.
Yeah.
One more kiss and farewell.
Marco, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Because you are a first-time guest, I would love it if you could maybe explain to the people that are listening who you are and what it is that you do.
So I'm 21 years old. I live in Argentina, in Buenos Aires. I study psychology. So that's like a whole different thing. But I love musical theater more than almost anything. It's my deepest passion, and especially Stephen Sondheim's show.
How did you get into Stephen Sondheim in Argentina?
Okay, so when I was about 12 years old, Sweeney Todd was performed here. It was actually the first time a show with music by Sondheim was performed here. This was 2010. Before that, they had like West Side Story in the 80s and Gypsy in the 90s, but nothing with music by him.
And was this in English or was this translated?
No, in Spanish. Always when a show is performed here, it is translated, of course.
Right.
And I often agree with that because you have to reach your audience. But with Sondheim, it's difficult because his lyrics are such tiny details. You know, they're such like perfect in a way. So when you translate it, it is impossible not to lose a lot of things.
Right.
I saw the DVD of the Raul Esparza version of Company, and I loved that so much. Company is my favorite musical ever.
Oh, great.
I first saw that, and I was like 13. So I didn't get like the whole point of it, of course, because I was really young. But I loved like the way it was structured, you know? I thought it was so different than other musicals I saw. And I just loved that. And then I saw, the OBC version of Into the Woods and Sunday in the Park with George and lots of other stuff.
What was it about those shows or Sondheim in general that you fell in love with?
Well, I remember the first time I watched Company, like listening to the first song, like, Bobby. And it was, I don't know, it was special. You know, it started and I just thought, okay, this is something different than what I know. And I loved it.
Yeah,
I'm not sure what it was, but I know that I loved it deeply.
I'm wondering, like, because you are studying for psychology, apparently, here, it's interesting because we were talking a bit before we started recording. I know that you have not yet gotten to the Company season, but I had a guest on there who is also a psychologist in Mexico, though.
Cool.
So I'm wondering if there is some sort of crossover between psychology and then people who like Sondheim. I don't know. Maybe there's something there.
It might be. Yeah, I actually used Company to write an essay for a psychoanalysis class.
Really?
Yeah, describing like how the show is structured. And because I think in that show, what we are watching is actually Bobby's subconscious, what I interpret with that.
So we get to talk about, of course, the Follies here on this episode. So what about Follies? When did you first come across Follies?
About 3 years ago, I watched the London telecast, the one with Imelda Staunton. Before that, I knew the score. I had listened to the score several times. I knew the songs, but I didn't know like the whole show. So that was the first time I watched it. And it's great.
What did you take from that? Because one thing that I've actually really been noticing as someone that is like really in love with Company like you are, I think there is a good comparison you can make between Follies and Company in that. And it's so interesting that they came right after one another because we have Company, which is all about like thinking about relationships, getting into a relationship from our central character. And then this one is the opposite of that. It's been, we've been in a relationship for a long time. So it's almost like a before and after sort of thing.
Absolutely. And what Follies is a lot darker than Company, I think.
Yeah, I think it is. I think it gets way darker than, maybe that's why like Sondheim must have been in a very dark mood because he always, he even writes about this in Finishing the Hat about how he wanted a much darker ending for Company than what eventually happened.
Yeah.
So I guess he eventually got his dark ending here in Follies. So we're talking about the song One More Kiss. And this is a song that I think, once again, my prejudice comes up because I remember even listening to this score years ago and being like, oh, this seems like a kind of a weird throwaway song to have in the middle of the show. It's just a chance for like the oldest Follies girl to come out and sing a song. But now, once again, after looking at it a little bit more deeply here in the last few weeks, it's like, oh, there's a lot more to this, I think, than what many people give it credit to.
You know, the same thing happened to me. Before preparing for this episode, I just thought that it was one more song in the score.
Yeah, and in for Follies, like one more song, there's 22 or 23 songs, I think, officially in this score. It's a long show. It's a long, long show. Yeah. This is sung by the character named Heidi. Like I said, it's the oldest Follies girl, and this is set up as being her reminiscence of her time in Vienna about how she got really famous with this specific song. And then when she came over into the United States, she would start to perform it for Wiseman at the Follies. But I want to give credit to the people who have performed this. In the original Broadway cast, it's Justine Johnson. In the 1987 London version, it's Adele Lee. And then in the 2017 National Theatre version, it's Josephine Barstow who performed this. This is one of the pastiche songs that Sondheim wrote for this. Yeah. And actually, I think what the coolest fact about this song is, and I think we'll come back to this here in a moment, this is the first song that Sondheim wrote for Follies.
Yeah, back when it was called The Girls Upstairs.
Right, yeah, really early in the gestation of this show. And he actually even writes that this is very unusual for him because, by and large, he goes from start to finish. He writes the first song first, second song second, and so on as they go through the score, and only makes changes if something isn't working. But this is like he needed to get into like the idea of writing pastiche, and he had to really kind of grapple with like how do I emulate other people? And so this was the first song that he wrote. And so I want to talk just briefly about some of the people that he is trying to emulate. He also does this really interesting thing where it's not just emulating one person. He's like emulating one person for the music and sometimes another person for the lyrics, and it kind of melds them together, which I feel is like way harder to do, I would think. But primarily for the musicians, he is looking at Sigmund Romberg and Rudolf Frimmel. And so to kind of get an understanding of what both of those composers sound like, for Frimmel, I'm going to pick the song called Someday. It's a duet from the operetta The Vagabond King. But we're going to listen here to a rendition of that sung by Mario Lanza and Judith Raskin. For Romberg, this is the song Will You Remember? It's from about 1939, and it's sung by Richard Tauber.
Love is so sweet in the springtime, when blossoms are fragrant in May. No year that are coming can bring time to make me forget you this day. I love you in life's gray December, the same as I love you today. My heart, ever young, will remember the thrill it knew the day in May.
So, of course, those are the musically what we're hearing here. And then the lyrics, he really initially tried to sound like this guy named Otto Harbach. Are you at all familiar with Otto Harbach?
Not
at all.
I was so surprised when I found this and finished in the hat.
So I didn't know this name, but I actually do know a few of his songs actually quite well.
Oh, yeah.
like once you know, it's like, oh, he wrote that song and that song. That's crazy. So the really interesting part is that this is like a mentor to a mentor, right? Because yeah. Oscar Hammerstein, of course, is the mentor to Sondheim. But Harbach was the mentor to Hammerstein, for good and bad, I think, is what Sondheim says in his
Fascinating.
Book.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like this big through line that you get. The song that I've picked to listen to is actually one of my all-time favorite songs, only because it got redone. There was a version that came out, I think, in the late 60s, or maybe early 60s, but it's Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
Oh, I love that song, yeah.
Yeah. This one's sung by Martha Wright.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
So yeah, great song. I really like that song a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are all of the kind of influences we're doing. Of course, Sondheim also says that after a while, he found it a little bit hard to emulate Harbach completely. So as he writes, because as beautiful and evocative as the lyrics are, they aren't really about anything. And Sondheim always has like meanings and sub-meanings and all this other stuff going on. So it was really hard for him to do. And so what he actually decided to do is take a little bit of Harbach and mix him with Noel Coward a little bit. And so that's kind of what you're hearing here, is kind of all of these influences all put into one song. There's also, I'm just hearing, there is a helicopter outside my house. I'm just hearing. So hopefully that's not picking up too much on the microphone.
I'm not listening to it, so I don't think so.
Okay, so that is basically filling in the blanks. I want to know, like you already mentioned a little bit about how you've kind of felt this was one of those throwaway songs. Now having kind of listened to it a little bit more, what's your feeling to this song right now?
I think that it evokes like the whole theme Follies is about. Uh-huh. Sondheim says in an interview that Follies is about the loss of innocence, not only mm-hmm. in their four lead characters, but as a whole, as a metaphor for innocence, and when that is done, like the loss of innocence, like in society. And I think that this is the song that evokes that. You know, phrases like, dreams are a sweet mistake, all dreamers must awake. Things like that. I think it's about the loss of innocence, which is what the show is yeah. about, according to him.
Well, that's what I mean. I think this is so interesting why this is the first song that he wrote for the show, because I think it actually, weirdly, sums up the entire theme of the show in this
Absolutely,
one song.
Yeah.
And it's kind of snuck in here in kind of the middle of the show, but I think it's actually super important. I also want to, like, if people have been listening along to this season, you'll already know this, but this is coming right after, I think, a couple of really pivotal scenes, because we have Too Many Mornings, right? Sung by yeah. Ben, him coming to this realization that he's kind of wasted a lot of his life. And then right after, really directly after, The Right Girl, where Buddy has his kind of mini breakdown and admits that he is having an affair. So we have our two male characters that are coming to like these crises. And then we have this woman come on to talk about lovers and how things have to die. And so it's interesting.
In a way, it plays like at the 11 o'clock position, you know? It's like the last pastiche song before the whole Loveland sequence.
Right, right.
So yeah, and it's interesting that it got there. When Can That Boy Foxtrot was in the show,
yeah,
you know that song had like two different versions. First, it was like the shorter version that we mostly know, and then they had like an expanded version. Mm-hmm. When Sondheim finished that second longer version of that song, it was Harold Prince, I think, who switched the order. Can That Boy Foxtrot was to be sung at this point of the show, and One More Kiss was before.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So he switched the order so that he would give like this song this position, like just before Could I Leave You, and like having this strange walls in the in this part of the show, he thought what was more appropriate. And then in the Boston tryout, when Sondheim writes, "I'm still here," and it becomes like the showstopper of the of Follies, he wants to reverse that order again. And but they didn't do it. So he wanted "I'm still here" to be the 11 o'clock number of Follies.
No, I think it's interesting because even if you look at the song list, this comes in almost exactly halfway through the song list, at least. And I think that is interesting. It's like this fulcrum. It's like the centerpiece of like, hey, this is actually what the whole point of the show is. And before this was like us getting to this point, and now we're going to go into like the madness of the rest of the characters for the rest of it. Well, let's get into the lyrics here then. Here is how Heidi starts this song. She says, "One more kiss before we part, one more kiss and farewell. Never shall we meet again, just a kiss and then we break the spell." So I want to talk just about that beginning part here, first and foremost. Sure. Very evocative. And I think this is true for a lot of those, what I call the interwar period songs that became popular when operettas were much more popular than what they are today, where it feels like there's a story that's being told, but we're actually filling in a lot of the blanks ourselves because she's not really saying anything.
No, it's really
just a feeling that she's putting across.
Yeah, she's kind of evoking a lover maybe that she once had, but we don't know a lot about it.
You know, it's also for me it feels very much like a fairy tale is being brought up here. It's like the whole like concept of like kissing, spells being broken, never shall we meet again. There is this like larger than life aspect to this just by using the different word choices.
And it's a style that Sondheim doesn't usually use. He's like, because he's making pastiche, you know, he's evoking another style.
Even more specifically than that, I like to read this part out, which is, he talks about this song quite extensively about like what influenced him, all that sort of stuff. And he says specifically when he figured that he would use a lot more Noel Coward into it, he says, "As soon as I had Coward in my sights, I was able to use words like farewell and phrases like never shall we meet again. I even permitted myself to imitate his harmony language, which is the kind I usually avoid, like dengue fever." So him being a little bit tongue-in-cheek here, but I think it is true that this is unlike Sondheim in many ways, where he is utilizing a lot of those old style phrases and like, I don't know, musical words and stuff like that, that he doesn't really use a whole lot.
No, right. Yeah, it's different.
I think the cool part of this song is also something that is true for a lot of the Follies numbers, where we have the person in present day, but then the ghost of their past is also there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And I think it does become very beautiful here because Heidi continues saying, "One more kiss to melt the heart, one more glimpse of the past." And then out from behind her usually is like the young Heidi kind of comes up and they start to duet together. For the rest of the song, they say, "One more souvenir of bliss, knowing well that this one must be the last."
"One more kiss to melt the heart, one more glimpse of the past, one more souvenir of bliss, knowing well that this one must be the last."
Yeah, what do you feel about this? Do you think it should have just been the present day Heidi, or do you like the fact that we get to see her younger self come on stage?
I love the fact that we get the younger version especially in the National Theater version, the 2017, because that the way that version is staged, you know, like the older Haiti looks so fragile, you know? It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
This is also why I get excited. I mean, you probably have heard that the director actually of that National Theater version also wants to make an actual like film version of Follies and direct it himself. This one is the one, I mean, there's many songs you can that can be cinematic, but this one specifically I feel is like there's such a cinematic thing you could do of her like being on stage and literally becoming her younger self in the past, like being in Vienna and then it coming back to her for one final line and stuff like that. I just think that there's some cool stuff you could play around with this one, especially if she's the oldest Follies girl that's in this production. And I actually like, there's been a few versions I've watched on YouTube. I actually like it the best when the younger version really emulates what the older older version is doing. Like they're almost the like mirroring each other. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. It's beautiful. Well, her being such like a fragile, it takes out such a little of solemnity maybe that this song has, and it's really interesting. I like it much more the way it is then that, for example, the 1985 concert. Of course, that's a concert, not a whole complete stage version. But it's that it looks like so perfect, such solemnity in the air during this song. You know, taking that out, I think it makes it way more interesting.
This is something that Sondheim is known for, too, of really utilizing actresses really well, especially like older, quote unquote, older actresses. I love the fact that One More Kiss is sung by the oldest person in the show. I don't know what it is about that. Like, this is something that would be probably better. Well, like in the fiction of this show, when this song was being sung, it was this young woman. Okay, One More Kiss. Like, I want my Romeo to come into my life, but to have like an 80-year-old woman sing this song, I don't know. There's something special about that.
Kind of a fun fact: in the 2001 revival, the first Broadway revival, I think, the Haiti was played by the original Lorelei from Oklahoma, which is fine.
Oh, I don't know,
interesting. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I haven't listened to the full score of that 2001 version because
there's no cast album of that version.
Maybe it's only the clips and stuff I've heard, because it was they decided to cast a lot of actresses who couldn't necessarily sing, so they went like great actresses without singers. So a couple of the songs I've heard from that version, because there was a Tony Awards performance and there was something else that happened, but it's like, I don't know about some of their choices, but that's cool. I like when they can bring back older actresses into this.
I just found out about that and I thought it was really interesting.
I also think this is also true that why Follies can actually be revived every so often, because you can bring in actresses at different points of their career, right? You can bring people in who could play Sally this year and in 20 or 30 years could play a different role very easily and have that kind of crossover. Yeah. So Heidi continues on, or they both continue on, singing, "Dreams are a sweet mistake, all dreamers must awake. On then with the dance, no backward glance, or my heart will break. Never look back, never look back." So this is why I want to say that I think there is more to this song than meets the eye, because I definitely think this is commenting on some of the two songs that came right before it, because you have Ben, who is constantly looking back and being like frustrated that he hasn't been happy and stuff like that. And you have Sally doing the same thing, right? Sally is constantly looking into the past. And then Buddy and Phyllis, I always think, are always like trying to move forward and kind of go on and stuff. And so she's specifically saying like, don't look back. Don't get caught up in like how everything was good years ago. Like you're just going to have a bad time if you're constantly comparing yourself to what you were like at 20 years old. So I think that there's a lot to what's going on in this song.
I haven't thought of that, like specifically talking about the lead characters, and it's fascinating. Yeah, I totally agree.
How about you? Is there anything that jumps out you hear from this section?
Well, I love that phrase that all dreamers must awake. I think it's the whole theme of the evening.
That is an interesting thing to put into this song, in that I think even as creative people, you get caught up in like, hey, what I want to do, or like what my dreams and ambitions are. And it's like, sometimes you actually have to be snapped down, like, hey, here's some of the reality that we can do. Still dream, but like, you do have to awaken at some point in your life.
Yeah.
Here's how it finishes though. One more kiss before we part, not with tears or a sigh. All things beautiful must die. Now that our love is done, lover, give me one more kiss and goodbye. So bittersweet, so lovely. I just love how all those lyrics kind of like come together in this end piece. What do you think like the main theme or the main point of this song is ultimately?
The loss of innocence. Yeah.
I think you're right. I think this ties back into what the whole show is. I wonder if you can maybe talk a little bit more about that. As you say, Sondheim mentions about how it's the loss of innocence here in Follies. How does that show up, and how does that speak to you, that loss of innocence?
Oh, well, it's interesting. Yeah, I don't relate like to the characters, but because I don't know, because I don't.
Maybe in 30 years you will.
But yeah, absolutely. I think so. Yeah. but I think it's interesting. Yeah, it's like a warning, maybe like something like, okay, don't do this. Don't live your life this way. Powerful. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the biggest one here, like, all things beautiful must die. I think that is such a tragic thing to sing in a song. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. You know what I mean? Like, anyone who is admired for their physical beauty, for instance, will eventually pass away.
Absolutely.
Right? Any great piece of architecture, even if we try and upkeep it to the best of our abilities, you know, natural disaster, whatever happens, at some point it's going to not exist. Even the entire world in like whatever in 10 million years from now will be like shot into the sun or something like that. But you know, like there, nothing is permanent. Everything is going to eventually go away. But I think summed up in such a beautiful song here in the middle of Follies.
It's really interesting. And it's true. I agree.
You know, what's really interesting about this, I don't know if you share the same feeling, which is that I, for some reason, have a huge love for this type of song, meaning like that, like sort of operetta style singing, especially when there's like duets and stuff that goes on. And I was trying to figure it out, and I'm sure like some language has a word for it. I don't think English does, which is that this song gives me nostalgia to something I don't actually have nostalgia for. right? It makes me feel like, oh yes, like back in that time, but like I was not even a thought back in 1925 when this song was like technically made for the show and stuff like that. So I don't know. Do you have anything like that, whether it's this song or other things, where it's like you feel connected to even though you don't really have a connection to it?
Well, musical theater in this era, absolutely. Yeah, wasn't there in New York in the 70s, and I just feel all those beautiful days for being a theater geek in New York City.
Right. Do you have a favorite recording of this show? over the song, sorry, of this song?
Well, the 2017 is really beautiful, of this song particularly. Mm-hmm. Follies has so many different recordings, and that's really cool. The 2011 also, it's really nice, particularly this song.
Yeah, I have not had a chance to really dig into the 1985 concert version that you brought up.
Uh-huh.
Because I think that is considered by a lot of people like the definitive version of the score, at least, because, you know, Sondheim had had his issues with the original Broadway cast recording being cut up like it was.
You know, the producer of the album didn't like this song at all, which is why
I'm
not surprised that they didn't release it in the vinyl.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, because it is on the digital album for sure.
Yeah,
but I don't know if it's on the vinyl.
No, when it went out on an LP, which I own, okay, by the way, I have the LP.
Actually,
yeah, and it isn't there.
Give me a second here. 1 second. So people can't see this at home, but I actually do have the actual record of Follies here in my hand. But I haven't had a record player for years now, so I haven't actually been able to listen to this. I got this at like a flea market like 3 years ago because it was like $2. I'm like, yeah, I'll buy Follies for $2. Why not? But that's interesting. Yeah, I can't actually take a look at it. It doesn't give me the cast list or anything like on that. But that's interesting. I wanted to listen to that and see if it actually... But like I said, it doesn't even appear on this.
No, it's not there. They recorded it, but they left it out because they had to put it all in one record. And it's a really long score, so they had to cut something. And actually, all of the songs are like trunk, you know, like a few.
Yeah, a lot of them are cut up.
Yeah, and this one doesn't appear at all. But they recorded it, so they released it when it was digitally released, or a CD at least.
Gotcha. So they can say there's extra songs, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And so the producer of the album didn't like it. He thought it added nothing to the plot, and he said things like that.
I want to go back in time and slap those record executives.
Yeah.
it really should have been a double album, is really what it had to have been.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, it isn't a good recording of the show. Besides, the cast is amazing. What's the name of the actress playing Carlota? Yvonne De Carlo. She's wonderful singing. And she's here, but it isn't the full song.
All right. Well, I guess luckily it was all it's all gone for the best. We've had some really great versions since then. I have to agree. I really do love that 2017 version quite a bit. I usually am like an original Broadway cast album purist, where that's usually the version I like the most.
Me too.
But there's something they captured magic with that 2017 version. I'm a big fan of how they orchestrated it and how they sing it.
And watching the telecast, it was staged beautifully.
Oh, yeah. I know. I would love to be in that room to see how the stage was turning around and all the other cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Marco, thank you so much for joining me here today. This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Is there a way... Oh, actually, before we wrap up, actually, there's something that jumped into my mind, which is musical theater in Argentina. Like, how popular is it? Is it popular at all? Or is there original composers that are there too?
Yeah, a lot. We get more original Argentinian shows than foreign. It is kind of popular, you know. Theater isn't maybe a whole thing. Not a lot of people go to the theater, but we still have a lot of theater, which is bizarre. You know, it's interesting. And yeah, musical theater, it kind of is a thing, yeah. We get like, I don't know, 4 or 5 commercial musicals in a year, which isn't a lot, but it is something. Well, right now, because of the whole quarantine thing, and we don't have anything at all, but, you know.
Well, I'm hoping that when this episode gets released, which will be in June, somewhere in July and August, hopefully we're able to go back outside at
let's
that point.
Hope but so. Let's yeah, hope. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, this year we had a production of Hello Dolly, which was really good. Kinky Boots, which I didn't get to see, but they said it was good also, and other shows with Come From Away was too big.
Oh, nice, yeah.
Yeah, it didn't get to open because of this, but it will eventually, let's hope, fingers crossed.
Come From Away, we actually started in Canada, actually.
Yeah,
that was
I knew,
a Canadian team. So.
I saw it on Broadway, and it's a great show. Yeah.
It's a great it's show. Beautiful. Yeah, it's great. So yes, Marco, thank you so much for joining me here today. If people wanted to, is there a way for them to follow you online at all?
My first name and last name, Marco Deninis, on Instagram. It would be kind of bizarre for people to want to follow me on social media, but yeah, sure. If they wanted to, why not?
Yeah, that's great. Perfect. Thank you again.
Thank you. It was really fun to be here.
Thank you so much for listening. You can send emails to puttingittogetherpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow Sondheim Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And you can support the show on Patreon by going to patreon.com/puttingittogetherpodcast. Thank you to the Alberta Podcast Network and to ATB this week. Putting Together is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts from. Consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Next week, we'll be talking about the song Could I Leave You? And the answer? Guess. As always, a big thanks to the great Chris Taniguchi who designed the podcast artwork and to Nick Driscoll for composing our theme music. Well, we've reached the end of our episode. Yes, I know. Goodbye for now.